Okay, welcome to our service again. I'm so glad you're here. We've been having such an amazing time with our last couple of 2 days. We've been focusing on building strong families that will build strong community. Amen. Strong family means strong church. Everything as to everything that God designed, everything from the beginning, when God designed man and woman, it is in the context of family and community. Somebody say family and community. All right. Everything God created is in His mind. It was a family. So we've been focusing on family last 2 days. Our family, our marriage seminar has been powerful. How many of you were there yesterday and today? Can I see your hand? Yeah. Wow. That was just like something else. Amen. Some of you were crying and you were hugging your wife. You were like, oh, I love you forever. I took all the pictures. It was amazing, you know. And God is really doing something powerful with families. You know, and everything God does, everything God has in His heart is always started with family. You know, last week, how many of you were last week? Can I see your hand? Okay, I mean all of you, most of you, right? So last week, I just touched on the power to create community. And today, I want to just take it to the next level of power to create community, part two. And I just want to talk a little bit about community. Can we do that tonight? Is that okay? All right, and I really sense as I was preparing today, and I really sense God is actually healing, healing families. God is healing community because God's going to do something powerful through your family and through this city. And God's heart is always for family. And I shared last week, you know, the statistic, I just want to recap again. I shared that there was about 7,000 people that lived in a county, and they did research on that 7,000. And that community and connected to people, likelihood, they three times higher, they didn't die early. You know, the other ones died early, but the one that were connected to people, somebody say connection. You know, they were connected to people, they were connected to community, they were connected to people, certain people grew, they died, they died longer. And I also mentioned last week, you know, research also showed that the one that is actually in the community gets healed fast. In the body wise, that, you know, they did a research, they took a common call and put it about in a bunch of people that connected to family and community. What happens is the one that's connected with the family, their body started recovering fast more than the one that was alone by themselves. All right, sobering statistic, sobering thing. And I was reading the statistic. I knew in my heart, we cannot enter 2023. We cannot move on this year without having community in our lives. Somebody say. As a Calvary Community Church, we are moving forward into 2023 with this big context. We're seeing everything that we're going to do in our life is through community. It's powerful, sobering thing to know that God actually highlighting in this season as a church, not only our church, as a global church, God wants people to be part of a community. For 2.5 years, almost 2 years, COVID robbed us of this very thing called fellowship and community and communion. And I feel what the Lord is doing in this season is rebuilding what we have so-called have lost through COVID. What so-called we have kind of like, you know, we have gave away what the enemy meant to be bad. I feel in 2023, God's going to raise up a community that's more powerful, that's more intentional, that's more and whole and more healing. And God's going to advance His kingdom through His community. And somebody say, amen. Amen. We are not meant to do life alone. We are not meant to do life alone. I read a scripture last week, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, how the early church, the one they were before us, now they're in the cloud of witness in heaven and looking at us. The early church, when the move of God came, they looked, you know, when God was moving, when God was leading, somebody say, God is leading our church. When God was moving and leading the community, which is called Ecclesia, to call out one, the church, God always brought them together in a community. And God led people to the early church, the community. And they gave us a context where last week I shared a little bit that God wants us to actually follow what God created in the beginning, which is, you know, being part of a community. Today I want to talk about, last week I said we're moving forward with community. Today I just want to talk about a few things, the thing that I want to emphasize today is being intentional about community. Amen. Being intentional, the key word for your growth and my growth. How many of you know Psalms chapter 1 says, you are a tree that planted by the rivers of water. You are planted in the house of God. You are planted in the heart of God. You are planted. When you are planted, anything that's planted, it has a couple of things happens. It brings life. It bear fruit. It grows, bear fruit. And the first of all, it's planted. It bear fruit. And then what happens? It become flourish. That every Christian, that every body of Christ, everyone that is Calvary Community Church, you are meant to be planted and to bear fruit for Jesus. That is a very essential life. Anything that is in the kingdom, anything that is in the kingdom, your life, your finance, your health, your wealth, your family, your children, has to what? Bear fruit and grow in Jesus. And one of the ways that God does that is so many ways that God does it. Number one, you look at the Bible, Jesus said, go into a secret place and pray. I know there's a place there where you grow with God in your secret place. You go with God. A certain part of our life, we need to be with the Lord. At the time and season such as this, you need to cultivate a secret place with God. Why? A secret place is a place where you commune with God. You have you have relationship with God. And that is the first growing place of yours. And the other aspect that which I want to talk about is where we grow together as a community. That's the aspect of community. Recently me and Jeff were walking at the one of our, we have this thing going on with me, Jeff, Crystal, Derek, a couple of we always like this. Whenever we are on the peak of a ministry, like so many things are to do, we'll just love to go for window shopping. We don't go a fancy place. Actually we go to grocery stores. Jaya Grocer or Big, we love to go Big, Iskandar. So we first thing we do, we get coffee, and then we walk through the fruit place. We won't buy anything there. But, Jeff always look for the 50% discount. First thing he does, Joe, let's go see about 50%. Because most of the things are there quite pricey. So you go for 50%. And Crystal goes to salad. And then Derek is just roaming around. And my point of contact, what I look for is, I straight away go to the meat, to steak. Yeah. 8 years living in America, they taught me how to eat steak. Don't look at me like that. So I go to steak, and the first thing I look for, also like Jeff, any 50% today? Because usually steak is under or 80, we look for 80, then you cut into 240. The most we'll buy is 30 lah. More than that, we'll be like, nah, expensive. So I saw a steak, and it was rib eye from Australia. But the thing is, I like my steak with certain ingredient on the steak. I'm buying so expensive, so I like it to be in certain way, in a certain ingredient on it. So I get really mad when Jeff makes steak, when we get together, because he just simply puts stuff. I say, it's so expensive. Why you simply put stuff? Because if you put simply, the steak become simply. Anything goes on the steak in that 2 minutes, very precious. I want you to know, church, I am very passionate about my steak. I am. You ask Vicky, he knows as well. We are neighbors, I'm very, when it comes to steak, when it comes to how you do it, I almost say, come to my, please don't. I don't have luxury to have all of you. Someone day we'll do barbecue here. But just come and see me. I know how to do good steak. Bragging in God. So Jeff does it like this. Joe, I put this, I put that. Maybe we'll try the masala. It's like, no way chili powder is going on steak. Then if you want to go chili powder, you better get a chicken breast and do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Oh, if you want to really put some chili powder, you go to Pelangi, Pasar, you get the local, the cow that was from Seremban or whatever, you get that. For me, from Australia, I have my ingredient. So I saw this steak, I looked at Jeff and said, I was so angry. Jeff, not really angry, but Jeff, this is rubbish, bro. Jeff said, why? Look at this steak. Ribeye from Australia, marble, looks amazing. But you know what? The big guy, the grocers, They marinated the steak for you. I was so mad. I said, Jeff, this is injustice. This is what we call injustice in the world. This is daylight robbery, robbers. Why, Jeff? I say, why? Because look at this steak. It's almost $80. If I want to buy this steak, I decide how this steak's going to taste like. Not somebody else. Steak was, John was, Jeff was like, you're being a diva right now. What's up with you and steak? I said, no, look at this steak. It's so expensive. It's so beautiful. But it has a different ingredient on it. I'm like, I cannot help it. I just get so upset about it. So whatever you put on the steak, that's what you become. For me, my type of steak is a secret. The reason I share that story, what goes into your life, what you intentionally put in your life, that's what comes out. Whatever you want in your life, you know, it's a simple analogy of steak, but you know, the moment you realize that certain things in your life that you want to grow in, you want to enjoy in, the life that you want to be, to become, certain thing in your life, what you put into your life, it's what's going to come out. If you're going to put negative thoughts in your life, if you're going to put depression in your life, you're just going to think about the past, you're going to think about the offense, what happened in the church, or that offense, or this and that. If you're going to keep thinking about that, my friend, no way you're going to come out differently. Amen. No matter how much you cook a kwetiau, if you put the same ingredient, it's not going to become something else. No matter how much I try to cook the steak, if there's some other stuff in that steak, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. And this life that we call community, the call community, is one of the most powerful, next to believing that, you know, Jesus saved you, next to believing He's a Son, He's a Son sent by God, next to believing that Holy Spirit is our, you know, is our comforter, next to believe the prayer life is powerful, next to believe the Word of God is powerful. I want to suggest to you tonight, the best ingredient for this season and also for your growth is the word called community. Amen. Community. Intentionally doing community. The word intentional is the root word, right? If you see intentional, it's in tension. You know the word tension, isn't it? Yes, doing community is such a thing that because we all are trained from the beginning to be by ourselves. We are trained to work things out by ourselves. In America, it's kind of like everybody by themselves. You cannot go to anybody's house. You know, our culture is a bit different, but it's, you know, independent. Everything I do by myself, everything. But kingdom doesn't work like that, church. Why do I say that? Let's look at John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. Jesus prayed a powerful prayer. John 17, you know, you guys can take off that. John 17, 20. Jesus prayed a powerful prayer and He said, I ask not only for this disciple, but also for those who will one day believe in Me through this message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one. So Jesus was looking, praying before He went to heaven. He looked at the Father and said, Father, as we are one, I pray My church, My community, the one that called out from the world, the ecclesia, the prophetic calendar of God, the bride of Jesus also will be one like we are one, God. That we will be one. That we will be one together. And it takes a lot of work at communities sometimes. But just Jesus' desire. I think what I'm coming at is God doesn't want us to do life by ourselves. It's easy for some time for the bride of Christ to go that, you know, I have all my things. I've been a Christian for 20 years. It's okay. I can do it. But that's not what the scripture says. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is some of my anchor scripture when I talk about community. When I talk about community, let me show you. No, when we talk about community, it's not just having a meal. Community is not just like, hey, come on, cell group, we eat together, we go. This is what really community looks like. In the same way, the younger one should willingly support the leadership of the elder in every relationship. Each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of humble servant. All right, in, give me the New King James Version again. God receives when you are proud, but multiply grace and favor when you are humble. Give me the next verse. This is, give me the next verse. Can I have an NKJV, guys? The one Pastor Rajan used, 1 Peter 5:5. Is that possible? So in other words, you know, this is Peter writing to church. Peter writing to church is saying, likewise, you younger people, you know, when we talk about community, right, we just, it's not just about coming together, just eat and go. That's part of it. I want to take you to another level of community. When we talk about community, but you know, this is what Peter's writing. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. As you have, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God receives the proud. As a younger man, I as a pastor, young pastor, I have a culture where I have a covering. I have leaders, I have friends that covers my leadership, covers my purity, covers my life. Why? Because when we humble ourselves into a community and say, I want to give myself into the community of what God is saying and doing in Calvary City Church, or what God is doing in this place, as we do that, what happens is a covering comes from God. The covering of God, the grace, the word grace. When you walk in community, number one, what happened? Grace started flowing in your life. The grace that this house carries begin to flow into your life. I call this, you know, is the grace of the river. The river of God start flowing like this. How many of you been to the Sunway Lagoon slides? One. Have you guys been? No? When I brought my friends, right, from missions, I took all 50 of them to Sunway Lagoon. You know, all of them went in like there was a havoc, right? But people were getting healed and stuff like that. So, you know, in the slide, if you go, you know, the bigger slide, they have water going on the slides, right? You know, the slide takes, you know, the water that goes. You know, the water actually helps you to slide. Help you to go from, you know, from up to down. It gives you grace to flow. Likewise, community is the community. What happens when you plug yourself into community in humility? The grace of God will begin to flow over your life. Certain grace in your life, certain flow in your life. God never meant you to be alone. God never meant you to be by yourself. God called us to be plugged into community. So when you say, you know, I want to be part of community, it's simply me. I'm submitting myself into a people group. I'm submitting to what God is saying and doing. That is an act of humility. Pride says, I can do it by myself. Pastor, you don't know, I am good at this. 20 years Christian, no. You think you're big, huh? You think you're boss, huh? He's wearing a boss shirt. But you know what? Humility, it takes so much humility for me, for us to say, I need one another. We need one another. We need one another. Somebody say amen. So water, without the water, there's no grace. Community is your water. Community is where you drink from. Community is where you get refreshed. You know, when I was in Redding, California, about 8 years, you know, Redding, they have the largest man-made lake. Okay? The largest lake is huge, and it's covered by second largest in America, second largest dam, the wall in America. All right, some of my friends will go for you know, take the boat and go, you know, go for a ride, and they always say this: never start the engine outside the water. We're talking about community as a water. Why? When you want to start the engine what happens when you start the engine outside the water? Because let me tell you why you need the water. Because when the engine is in the water gets sucked into the engine. It cools down the engine. Because if it's outside the water, it dries up. Community is such that you need in your life for the spiritual charge up of your life. A lot of us get dry in our spiritual life. We get so distanced from one another, or even we think from God whatsoever, because we are not in the water, which is called community. And again, community is not just eating together. I'm talking about submitting. When you are in community, grace begins to flow. I want to say this choosing community is a very tough, it's a tough choice at times. To be with Jeff and Pearly every day with Crystal, it's not easy, guys. Especially Pearly, I'm just kidding. It's not easy to hang out with Vicky almost every other day. But you know what? It's a choice. It's a choice. I'll tell you why. Community is a deliberately choice. It's a tough choice. Because it kills this very thoughts we have. I don't need people. I don't need people. The moment you come to a place, I don't need people, you're walking out of the grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. And when I came back from US, I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? And I saw myself exactly preaching here in the vision. I said, Lord, is there anywhere else you want to send? Not because I don't want to. I love you all. I love the church. I really love the church. Everything we do from, you know, planning, whatever, right? It comes first to like, let's love our people. Yeah. Everyone we invite, we say they must honor our people and love our people. Yeah. And I saw myself, love, I know here, I made a deliberate, I had a choice in US. Somebody said, we'll give you $2,000. All you do is you preach the gospel, they said. And we give you a house and a car. 2,000 times 4, right now, how much, huh? And another ministry called us here, we go, even a couple of months ago, the other ministry were like, we will actually, you do whatever you want, you just be with us. I had a choice. But I made a choice that this is my home. This is my house. This is the community that I want to be part of. It's a tough choice. At times it's tough. You know, some of you see some of his choice. Why? Because we are constantly in a moment, a place where we look at other community, we look at other people, and we wish I had that. We look at other, like, you know, in our generation, it's a younger generation, we're always constantly social media. You know, I got off from social media for 40 days. It was really good because oftentimes we look at all other, that community is awesome. That thing is awesome. What happens without knowing we compare? We compare. When comparison comes in, what happens? We walk in unthankfulness in our heart. So it's a choice that we make that we want to be part of a community because God's heart is for a community. It's a tough choice because doing community is not just, again, just come, bring your food and eat. It's doing life together. In the early church, they were like, brother, what do you need? Have you eaten? How's your day? That's the true nature of community. But that's where God wants us to go. Like, you know what is community? It's intimacy. Like, it's a level of intimacy. What is intimacy? Intimacy is into me you see. Into me you see. But that's why community actually breaks down the wall of individualism. Like, I know when you humble yourself and say, I'm going to be a part of a cell group or worship. I don't know the people, but I'm just going to go because I need to be there. Because the word says, so what happens? You know, the wall of, you know, of separation, wall of individualism, just break off from yourself. The isolation, that loneliness just breaks off from yourself. What happens? You begin to open up your heart. What would it look like for our community that walks into this place or different community, you know, we walk into a dimension, lifestyle, or we create a culture. I'm dreaming with you as a pastor. We create a culture that we just don't come and go. We go, what can I do for you, brother? How can I pray for you? This is what we call a culture of love. Love looks like something, my friend. Jesus died on the cross for us. It's a display of love. For God so loved the world, He gave. Love gives. I want to suggest to you tonight, let's be generous with our love for one another. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Let's be generous. Let's be generous. God's heart's for community. He said, you know, we want to walk in such a dimension of community that we are able to bring. How many of you know when you walk in, point number two, let me just go to point number two. Number one, grace begin to flow. Number two, you find strength in community. In Proverbs chapter 13 and 20 says, he who walks with a wise man will be wise also. He who walks with a wise man. What happens is, you know, let's say Jeff carries certain wisdom. And I don't have that wisdom. I'm struggling. All you have to do is get in connection and community with Jeff. What happens? The wisdom that Jeff carries, I begin to, you know, tap into it. His breakthrough now becomes my breakthrough. That's why who you hang out with, who you do life with is very important. I love being with Pastor Raja. You know why? No matter what happens, you know, he has these things. He's just walking great breakthroughs. No matter, especially in terms of health, in finance and relationship, he just does it so well. And you come around him, there's a grace flows out of him. You know, whatever you are, you know, financial problem you're going through, let him pray for you, something happens. That's what we call sharing our strength. Jonathan and David in the Bible, you say David could become a king because Jonathan made a covenant with David and said, David, my life is this. I'm going to be a greatest strength. I'm going to be a greatest encourager. I'm going to be the one championing you. And I want to see everything God has for your life come to pass. And Jonathan, you know, when Saul came against Jonathan because of the call of God on his life, is this what Jonathan did? I'm going to help you. When my dad comes against you, I'm going to stand and I'm going to give you cues. I'm going to let you know, and you have to flee away from my dad because my dad will kill you. What Jonathan was doing, he was becoming a strength to David. My question for you tonight, who is your Jonathan and who is your David? God wants you to become a Jonathan to someone. Somebody say, it can be like me or in the Bible also. God wants us to find strength in community. When you walk with someone, you share their wisdom. You share their breakthroughs. That's why the scripture says, he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. Jesus said, when you go to the world, preach the gospel, cast out demon, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, raise the dead. Why? As a believer, you carry the authority of Jesus. You carry the power of God inside of you. So as a community, when you come together, what happened? God gives you power to pray for one another. God gives you power to, you know, to bring healing to one another. God gives you power and wisdom to solve the problem of one another. Somebody say, When you have a cut in your body, what happens? The body heals the body. This body doesn't look for some other body heals the body. What happens? It's naturally God designed. When you are in the body of Christ, when you are in a community, strength and healing happens in that place. Somebody say, amen. The key word, if you want to strengthen, a lot of healing happens when you're in community. Lot of healing. Either it's brokenness or whatsoever. God gives people around you. God gives us one another. You know, because God wants you. The key word when you're in community is always, this is a catch the key word. You know, if you need some kind of healing or whatever, say, I need help. Can you pray for me? That's the most powerful word for a community. I want to turn your attention to one of the most powerful scripture in the Bible. And I want to pray, and the police are going to come and share a few things, and we're going to pray. It's Luke chapter 15. Can you guys put Luke chapter 15? So what kind of community that God wants us to build? What kind of community that we want to go after in 2023? Can you guys put Luke chapter 15 in Passion? I give you the 15, the prodigal son. It's 15:11. So when we talk about community culture, God wants us to be part of. Luke, guys, come on, Luke. Luke 15. And I want to bring you to this powerful story of a prodigal son. You know, when you look at this father, the prodigal, you know, the father that welcomed prodigal son, you know, the scripture, that very particular scripture shows the heart of God for community. Which shows the very heart of beat of God. And in that scripture, God introduced a good father in that moment. Yeah. A son that goes away, takes all the money away. All right? There was a father, two sons, you know, and you know the story. Give me verse, keep going down, verse 15. And if another son goes away and, you know, and take all the, you know, takes all his belonging and wastes everything. Next scripture. All right. Next one. Next one. Yeah, the next one. Next one. Okay. And then the son realizes that he wasted his life. You know, in the cultural context, when a son goes to the father, Jewish father, and says, "Father, give me all your money," he's saying, "Father, you are dead. And give me your money." So no honor, nothing, no honor, no honor, really bad attitude. And the son is saying, "Father, give me your money." A good father, he says, "Take your portion and do whatever, take your portion, And he goes away and he wastes the money. He spent time with the pigs and so on and so forth. He wastes, he destroys your life. He came to realize that in the state he were, in the father's house, there's a better place. So he leaves the pigs and his thing and goes back home. He's going towards back home. And this is where the climax of the story was 20. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. I remember I was in Las Vegas. Me and a couple of my friends went off on a ministry trip. We walked into a casino. I saw this little girl wearing really short skirt, revealing shirt, a couple of friends. And the Lord says, "Tell her that I love her so much." And I went near her and I said, "I don't know you." She was American. I said, "I don't know you, but I want you to know there's a good father that loves you." She began to cry out. She said, "Why did you say that?" I said, "I don't know, but I know there's a God that loves you so much." And then she said, I just sold myself. I'm a prostitute. I sold myself and I came here to sit down. And I'm a Christian. I used to go to that church in Las Vegas. But I'm gone away from God." And the moment I said, "God loves you and He's calling you back to your calling," she just started weeping. And she said, "I'm a pastor's daughter. My life is just wasted." I began to minister to her. And she began to get healed. And she was so uncomfortable. You know what happened? She didn't receive the Lord. She just walked away. And I went up to my room. And I said, Lord, I did. What do you want me to do?" It was like 1 o'clock. God says, "Take up the $100 that you have as a student. Go down again." I said, "Lord, that's the only $100 I have." I said, "No, give it to her." I took out 1 o'clock. "God, you really want me to find this girl?" So I go down again, walking around the casino for 20 minutes. Every time I want to give up, "God, maybe she's not here. Maybe she's already gone to see his father." All the excuses I'm giving, right? God says, "Wait a little longer." For 20 to 25 minutes, I was walking around every casino in that room, every place of the casino, looking for that girl. "Where is she? Where is she?" And my heart was like, filled with the compassion for this girl, because she said, I knew the Lord before and now I don't know, broken, completely broken." I walked around, I sat there, I didn't see her. Then I went back to my room and I said, "Lord, I didn't see her, the money is with me, Lord." I said, "I didn't see her." But the Lord told me that it's okay, you did what I asked you to do. And that $100, right, that was the only thing I had. For me, it's the only thing, but for God's eyes, it was worth enough for her. It was more than enough for her. Though I didn't find her, I have felt the heart of God. From far, this father saw his son coming. And the father was waiting for this broken son to come back home. Why? The father loved him. Though he misbehaved, messed up, completely arrogant, prideful, unthankful, offended. Though the son was so broken, but a good father welcomed him. Give me the scripture, guys. The next scripture, come on, quick. We're talking that the context of Calvary Community. What would it look like? All right. And he swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. This is a son who betrayed a father. We are not Somebody came to me the other day and made a biggest confession to me. They said, bro, I'm really sorry. I said, why? When I came to your house, I stole your money. Not from you, okay? And I was looking for that particular money, US dollar I was keeping. I was like, where's my money? Suddenly missing. I'm calling my sister. I'm calling my mom. Because my sister comes and cleans my house. I'm like, sister, tell the truth. He's like, no, I didn't take it. I said, I was just kidding, I know. Because I felt such a peace when the money was missing, quite a bit, you know. So I was like, where's this money? Huh? Then I was like, God, nothing you lose without God's knowledge. Right? God knows. And I felt so much peace. It's a US dollar, okay? I was like, chill out, Granny. My Lord. Then I just left it. I said, Lord, if I lose it, it's your money, by the way. I didn't feel remorse. I was like, well, it's gone. What to do? And this young man comes just a couple of days ago. He says, I came from far to let you know that God convicted my heart when I was going through healing, that I took your money. I'm really sorry. I have this habit. Now somehow I will work and pay off. The first response was like, Bobby and God, no. You all think like that. Pastor Rajit, I'm just kidding. While he was sharing, you know, you won't believe this. He stays in my house. I'm walking out of my house. The Lord said, he's the one who took the money. Not this guy. He's the one. He gives good money. I walked out from the house. The Lord said, he's the one who took it. Forgive him. Don't ask him. It's a lot of money, I tell you. Not millions, lah. For me, it's a lot, okay? And while he was sharing, I held his hand and said, I already forgive you. Don't talk about it. I said, I already forgive you. And he's just shocked. No, I have to tell you. I said, I already forgive you. Little bit of me like, please give me my money, lah. Little voice said, Ada pavi. Irukkara kaasu eduthutana. In time, oh my goodness, he took my money. But just a little voice, but that voice just went off. And I said, I just opened up my mouth and said, I forgive you. That's what happens in community. Certain healings that happens, certain transformation happen in your life when you just open up and do something like that. And as I released that, I felt the heart of God for him. We want to be a community. Hey, come on, guys, give me the scripture. We want to be a community that will be generous like our Father with forgiveness. With forgiveness. It's easy to find dirt anywhere. Dirt. Easy. But it's very hard to find gold. God wants us to be a people that find gold in each other. Each one of you has a gold in you. Whether young or old. I can easily say, you're old. Okay, how can you? We are young people. We'll never do that. Oh, yeah, older one can say, these young fellows don't know what they're doing. But let me tell you something. God's heart is that the young, old, and the older one, the younger one, the younger one, come to a place of love and forgiveness. Somebody say, a good father, he kissed him again and again with tender love. Then the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Next verse, please. Just let it be. The father, while he was feeling bad, the father interrupted him and said, son, you are home now. My friend, let me tell you something. There's so many prodigal son out there is waiting to be back in Calvary Community Church. We're going to see people get healed, saved, and delivered in this house. Amen. Amen. And we need you as fathers. We need you as mothers. Not to just say, they all can be ended. But no, we need your encouragement. We need your sense of encouragement and belonging. When people come to get saved, we need fathers to step and say, I want to love this man. I want to pour out my love on these people. Yeah, they're ill-deserving. Maybe they're the one that not deserve. But will you be like our Heavenly Father and say, you don't deserve it, but I'm still going to love you. Just like Jesus loved his church. turned to his servant, and the father said, quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I'll place it on him. God, Father, even though he didn't deserve it, he gave the best robe to his son. On the cross, God gave us his best. God, Father didn't give the leftover of heaven. He said, let me see, I got a few sons. No, he gave one and only begotten son. I pray that we become a community that will give our best again to the church. We'll give our best again to one another. Why? When we do that, we will begin to walk in the dimension or in the heart, just like our Heavenly Father. Somebody say, amen. And the next verse, please. So bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I'll put it on his finger and bring out the best shoes you can find, my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate, for this beloved son of mine was once dead, now he is alive. What is community? Forgiveness. What is community? A sense of belonging. What is community? Is celebrating one another. It's celebrating one another's life. It's seeing one another, saying like, I'm really thankful for what God is doing in your life. I pray that you'll open up your heart to one another and say, can I say something that I can pray for you? What God is doing in your life? Is there something that I can help you with? When you begin to come to that place, what happened? Our community will begin to experience a new wave of the Father's love. A new wave of the Father's love. It will attract the broken here. You know, there's something called atmosphere. Atmosphere. Until you know there's something called atmosphere. Have you been to certain houses? The moment you walk in, you feel very depressed. Certain house you walk in, you feel very angry. Certain places you walk in, you feel like restless. Why? There's a culture, there's an atmosphere that's been created in that house. Whether they, by words or feeling, it just comes out from the house. That's why parents, even if you fight in your private place, when you have a disagreement with your wife, if you fight in anger, whatever, your children can still feel it. Whatever going on with your heart, your children will know. You cannot pretend. God designed like that. They can feel. You cannot lie to your children. You can do it, but your children will know. So the atmosphere is so powerful. And I pray that the atmosphere in Calvary community will increase. We already have it, but I wanted to go into a dimension where every broken people that walk into this place, in your home group, in your church, in your conversation, they will recognize this is a place I want to belong to. This is a place that will celebrate me. This is the place that forgiveness is free. This is the place that I can encounter the Father's love. And God is preparing us for that kind of community. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a mighty clap for that one. As the end of my sermon today, before Pearlie comes and just introduce a few things, I want you to know, you are the greatest breakthrough to your neighbor. Your life is the greatest blessing for someone else. Whether you're in high or low, your strength can become somebody else's strength. I want to suggest to you, don't hold back. Let's give that strength away. Amen. The more you give, the more you receive. The more you give. Where does God want you to serve in the community? Where does God want you to be part of? Certain breakthroughs, I tell you, whether it's finance or spiritual relationship, will just kick in the grace of God as a moment you submit to a leadership, submit to the atmosphere, submit to the mission, and begin to see God move through you. Somebody say, amen. What, Pearlie, why don't you come? And we're going to talk quickly about what's happening in our cell group.
Hey, thank you, Pastor John. I want to introduce to you and share to you about our cell groups. Can we have it on the screen? Yes. Okay, so we have a bunch of cell groups, and what we did is we actually broke the cell groups up according to age group and also location. So for you that who are existingly already in cell groups, some of you may have been reshuffled to other cell groups, you know, for to homes that are nearer to you. So we want to make you like have an easier way, you know, to go to cell groups. And also like we want to place you in your age group, whether you're young families, whether you're above 60s, you know, because, you know, there's something really powerful when you journey alongside with people who are going through the same phase of life. So that's why we want to create a new kind of concept where we want to have you and journey alongside with people who are going through the same struggles and same phase of life. Okay, thanks. Now, I want to share with you like the power of cell groups, the power of family. You know, like Pastor John said, cell groups are not just, you know, you come and you makan and then you sing some songs and you know, you throw in like some bunch of Bible questions. It's not about that. It's about coming to a family and doing life together. Creating a safe space for people to share their hearts, be vulnerable, to be authentic, to be accepted and feel belong. And I talk to a lot of people, and some of them are my friends and counselees, and you know, they'll share their story and they'll be like, man, this is the first time I'm actually telling my story. And I feel so sad because I feel like if only they had someone to talk to earlier, they could break out of their addictions much earlier. If only this person who was sexually assaulted when she was young, she could tell her parents what has happened. She found, you know, this person would feel safe enough to tell someone. This person wouldn't need to carry this trauma all the way to an adult. And all of us, we need someone. We need someone to journey alongside with us. And I wish I had that. When I was 17, my mom suddenly died of brain aneurysm. Just in a few hours, you know, she passed away, and obviously it's a whole story by itself. And at that point of time, I was a pastor's kid. I didn't know how to express my feelings to my church people. They didn't know how to ask me about it because it's a very sensitive thing. They didn't want me to be sad. They didn't want to open up a can of worms. Like, if God was so good, how come, you know, He didn't heal my mom? I didn't have anyone to talk to me about it. My dad was going through his own process. He didn't know how to talk to me and my brother about losing our mom. It was such a lonely journey. But I thank God that God actually brought my chemistry teacher. The most like wow, this person is not from church, this person is not family, it's my chemistry teacher who was actually quite mean in school. But this chemistry teacher took compassion on me. And she said, Pearlie, I want to see you every Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7:30 in the morning. And I would go to her class and she would come out for her class and she would just ask me, hey, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your dad? Are you still crying? You know, is there anything that I can help you? And she did it for 1 month and it made such a difference to my life. Being seen, being understood. I really have a lot of gratitude for this teacher. And every time, you know, again, I said, you know, my counselors or my friends would say, this is my first time telling you. And my next question was like, how come you couldn't tell anyone? And they're like, you know, I'm so scared to be judged. Oh, man, like people will gossip. You know, I've been hurt by church. I've been hurt by my family. I don't trust. It's much easier to tell my non-Christian friends. And my heart is so sad. Because church, we are meant to be the safest place on earth. And if you're one of these people who feel hurt, whether it's, you know, this church or your previous church or your family, because you thought that you could share your heart and in the end you were judged and people gossip. On behalf of your church and your family, I would like to ask for forgiveness. I want to say sorry for abusing your trust. I want to say sorry that I didn't have compassion on you. I want to say sorry that I didn't see your heart or even handle your heart properly. We're going to go into communion in a bit, and oftentimes we take communion, we remember what Jesus has done for us and healing. But also, I would want to encourage you that when you take communion, forgive. Start to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, bring people to remembrance that I need to forgive. Because Holy Spirit, I can't do this journey alone, and I want to trust again. I want to give family a chance again.